you got your Bibles, go to Psalm 18, please. Psalm 18, and stand to your feet when you get there. Last week, I read from verse 16 to the end of the chapter, or to verse 30, actually. Tonight, I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse number 18. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I love this this portion of Scripture. Before I get done, I'm gonna cover every one of these verses in Psalm 18 with one theme in mind. I'm a little bit like Dr. Howes used to be. He get one theme and just rode that theme and rode that theme until you got it. And I've got about 8 or 9 sermons in Psalm 18, and hopefully by the end of it you'll have it. Look what he says: I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. That's a good start.
Yes.
The Lord, are you listening? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed about me. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. Well, glory.
Amen.
And my cry came before him, even into his ears.
Yes.
You grab a hold of that, you'll shout.
Yes, sir.
Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. You really don't want God mad at you. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and the fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and the darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about. Oh, somebody help me. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomforted them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the fountains of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Somebody else shout. He delivered me from mine enemy and from them which hate me, and for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But
praise the Lord.
Preach on, preacher.
Amen.
But the Lord was my stay. Our Father, as we gather as your church around the Word of God tonight, there's folks that their world's being rocked by this society because of sin, because of all the things that are going on. But I'm glad tonight
yes.
that you're my stay. And I pray that you'll help me in these days, these weeks to come as I unfold this truth to our people.
Yes.
And I'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Last week all I done was introduce this chapter. And I'm going to do my best not to go and re-preach what I've already preached. But I am going to say a couple things. You Bible students know if you study the Bible, this psalm is connected with Second Samuel chapter 22. That's where you find the context. And here's what David was doing. Now some commentators said this, and I don't agree with them. They said that he was looking forward. I don't believe that at all. I believe he was looking back at his life. He was looking back at the times he was in a snare and when he had troubles. And he come to the conclusion that God was his stay. Praise God for that. Somebody ought to say amen. I want you to know something. He was rehearsing his life. Some of you say, Preacher Smith, I hate to go back and rehearse some of the things that's happened in my life because there's been a lot of pain in my life. A lot of hardship. David went through hardship. A lot of bad stuff. Well, I understand that, but let's put another spin on it. Won't you go back in your life and see all them hardships? See all those times you about went down? See all those times when you felt like you wasn't going to make it? All them times when your life seemed like it was going to tumble over? And look back and find out that God was your stay. You didn't make it because of your intellect. You didn't make it because you're smart. You didn't make it because you could protect yourself. You didn't make it because you could fix your problems. You made it because God was your stay. Hallelujah. Amen. When he faced that 9-foot-6 giant, he didn't use Saul's armor. He hadn't proved the armor. He just had a little slingshot, 5 stones, which pictures grace, and just knocked his head off. Amen. When he was running from Saul, when he hid in caves, when he was all around being persecuted, you said, what's it got him through? The Lord was his stay. Now, last week I told you what a stay was. I'll do that again. I'm not going to re-preach all that. But there's two kinds of stays, actually. Do you have one on tonight? That's it. Right there is a stay. You know what that thing's for? Tell me, Chad.
Keeps my collar straight.
That's what that stay does. Keeps his collar from going up like this. Now, if you look at my shirt, you can tell Pastor don't have a stay on tonight. Are y'all listening? But not only that, somebody help me here. Not only us, also a picture of a, you call it a tie tack. Actually, it's not a tie tack, it's a stay. Now, let's do this for a minute. If I go weaving around, that tie's going everywhere. If I got that sucker buckled down with a stay, I don't care how much this fat man jumps, it ain't going anywhere. And I want you to know, look at me. I don't care how much the devil throws at you. I don't care how much mud that your enemy sling. I don't care how much pain you've been through. I'm glad tonight that the Lord is my stay. You said, Preacher Smith, I didn't ever, David talked about his enemies. He talked a lot about enemies. And you said, Preacher Smith, no, I didn't think I had any. Oh, just live for God for a while. You'll find out you have them. Because see, Christ haters hate you because they hate him. Am I preaching? He said, "Preacher, if I had some people that I would have never would have thought they'd have turned on me. I never thought they would say ugly things about me. I always thought they'd stay with me." Listen to me, you're not in reality. That's just not the way it is. When Saul heard about David, 10,000, and he only had 1,000, he done got mad. Jealous. You say, why some people hate Taze Valley Baptist Church? Because they're sick and rotten jealous of the church. Because we're seeing people saved, seeing them baptized, and they can stop the work, and they aren't going to stop the work because God is our stay. Amen. Let's look at that. You with me, Jan? I could almost shout at this introduction before they even start the song. Let me give you one point tonight, maybe two, probably just one. First of all, I want you to notice tonight, David's personal delight expressed in verse number one. He said, "I love thee, O Lord, my strength." Notice first of all, his loving commitment. If you look at look before in that little caption above your King James Bible, little caption there talks about his responsive song. David sang. By the way, I like singing. David sang. He praised God in song. He loved God. I sing, not in the choir because they won't let me. I sing in the shower. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. You want me in bad, ain't you? I can tell it. He speaks of his loving commitment. He said, I not only his responsive song, but his he was a rejoicing servant. He said, "I'm God's servant. I love God." I wish we would base every decision we make upon our love for God. I wish everything we've done would be in light of God's love for us. Somebody say amen. I want you to know something. I want y'all to know this. My dad, my hero, I loved him. I was one who got him saved, led him to Christ. But I loved my daddy. I loved him. I loved my mama. And I want y'all to know something. If I thought I'd disappoint my mom or dad that much, it broke my heart. Jeff, I love my Jesus. Man, you said, "Why are you so committed? Why are you so sold out?" Because I love God. Because I love Him. He done it all for me. He's my stay. Amen. Then I want you to notice in verse 1, his lasting conviction. Now I'm going to go through this verse. This will probably take me the rest of the time tonight. It's verse 1 and 2. I just about want to climb the pew on this one. But I'm too old to do that anymore. But look at it. How many's got verse 2 in your hand? Let's rehearse it. David looking back. He looking back at all the turmoil, all the trouble, all the failures, all the problems. And he said, "The Lord was my stay." What would he say there? Look, will y'all follow me in your King James Bible? Because NIV probably don't have it like this. Number one, look at what he says. "The Lord is my," what? Church, let's say it. "The Lord is my," come on, say it louder. "The Lord is my," see, he said he's my strength in verse number one. "I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me." You want, can I say this? Politely, I hope. What do you think you just have to, in your energy, try to fix every problem you have? Who put you in charge? Why do you think that you've got to take care of everything that comes in your life? And I want you to know, you try that, you're going to be a frustrated human being. But if you raise your hand up here tonight and say, you know what? I decide I can't do it. I decide I can't do it, but I'm glad that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Well, David said, He's my strength. When I'm weak, He makes me strong. I had found out in my ministry, there'd been some trials in my life. I could count 8 of them for 40 years. I got them wrote down somewhere. Every one of them. And I was helpless in all 8 circumstances. Helpless. But then God came on the scene. And He was my stay. And He took me through. My enemies were not able to prevail. The haters wasn't able to prevail. Because God was my stay. You know what? You're going to get worn out by trying to do it all yourself. You know why you're near burnout? You know why you're almost at the end of your marriage, end of your life, end of everything? Because you're trying to do it all in your strength, and you're going to get burnt out and rust out when all you need to do is let Him be your strength. But let's look at that verse 2. Whoo, glory. Not only is my strength, let's say that again. The Lord is my what? He's my stability. Now, yeah. Some people say this, and they might be some truth to this. If it wasn't for Marguerite, you wouldn't have made it all these years. Well, there's probably some truth to that. Because I got a good woman. I'm just telling you, I do. But I want to tell you what, there's been some things that in my life, but my wife couldn't help me. She told me she loved me. She told me she'd be with me through it all. But there's only one could say, I'm your rock. I'm on Him, and on Him there is stability. I ask you a question, why are you building your life on everything that sinks and sand and messes instead of building your life on God? He is your rock. Whew. I want to preach a little bit on this. You know what I see in our churches? And it scares me to death. I see a lot of unstable people. That's bad. And outside the walls of this independent church and some of these flaky liberal churches, they're plumb crazy. Unstable. Hey, somebody called me the other day. I'm going to make somebody mad here, Chad. I know it is. Probably ought to just X this out. No, I won't. Somebody called me the other day. What a dumb thing. Said, and it's unfortunate. This young man called me about his girlfriend. Said, my girlfriend's pregnant out of wedlock, and we want your advice. We're thinking about an abortion. I said, sir, that's the most unstable thing I ever heard you say. That's terrible. That's killing. I just had a baby. We just had a service for a little baby today, 25 weeks old. They're aborting them that age. I said, no, that's the wrong thing. I said, put your feet on the rock. He said, everything's going down, preacher. We can't raise this baby. I said, you can't raise it. Let me get it to a home where they can raise it. And I'm working on that right now. Instead of killing a baby, there's a lot of moms and dads would like to take it and help it and nourish it and give it a real life. You, what your problem is, you're double-minded, you're unstable, you're making bad decisions. You're making decisions outside the King James, outside the Holy Ghost, outside the power of God. Amen. Yeah. Got a firm foundation. I got a fixed foundation. You know what bothers me? Compromise is so convenient.
It really is. It
is. Oh, preach. I just had to do that. I had to turn on the computer into pornography. Because I just want my lust fulfilled. You're unstable. Preacher, I had to take that, I had to smoke that dope to comfort me and kind of ease my nerves. You're unstable. Preacher Smith, I drink occasionally because my nerves are bad. Well, my Bible said Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That word peace translated means tranquilizer. You want to take a tranquilizer tonight? Take a big dose of Jesus. Somebody help me preach. I was wanting to try to fix something. I got a firm foundation. Stable. My Lord's my stay. Are y'all reading these verses with me? Come on, let's go on some more. Whew. Now y'all read this with me. And my what? Oh, y'all. What kind of response was that? And my. That's a little bit, but not real good. One more time. And my. Not only is he my strength, my stability, he is my security. You know, I had 5 calls last week, and it all boiled down to one thing. I mean, I got calls about this Kavanaugh situation. And I told them, I said, innocent till proven guilty. I got calls about Donald Trump. I got calls about this coming election in West Virginia between this Senate thing. I got it all this week. Everybody's all shook up. Come on now. If you watch TV and them commercials, you're out of your mind. One person said, I am a cold sweat. I am so nervous. I'm so insecure. What's going to happen if that guy gets elected? What's going to happen if this guy gets in the Supreme Court? I want you to know something tonight. I'm going to go to bed tonight, take me an 81 baby aspirin, and be all right because I'm secure in Jesus Christ. I'm not worried about the future because I know who holds the future. I'm not worried about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. He's my fortress. That means that's a place to run and hide. See, here's what happens. Some church people get in trouble. They go run and hide in the world. No. You need to go run and hide in the shelter of His arms and get hid in Christ. Am I preaching all right? I'm just going down the Bible. Isn't that what I'm doing? Let's go on. Let's learn some more. I know I'm not going to get past point one. The Lord's my rock and my fortress and my what? Whew. Man, He is that. My God, my strength. Look at this word. Say it with me. My what? Buckler. Now, how many of y'all know what that means? Buckler. I got one. How many of you got 2, 3, 4, 5? Well, tell me what it is. It's not that big shield of faith. It's that little shield. Right in this area. And you bring your arm here. And it also has a strap on it and some chains on it. See, He's my shield. I like that. When something goes, when your haters go below the belt. And they do. Oh, they do. They don't know where to go. but blow the belt. He's my shield. See, they use that a lot in hand-to-hand combat. When that soldier's getting close, that shield would protect them. Why is there so many people falling? Why is there so many people collapsing under the pressure? Because they don't have a buckler. Help me. He's my buckler. He's my shield. When the devil gets up close and he's ready to almost get me, I got it. I don't have it. He has it. He's my buckler. Somebody help me right here. The devil, he throws everything at us.
Yes,
but he's my buckler.
Thank God.
My shield.
Amen.
I watched Star Wars. You know when they got that Star Wars and that shoot them things, they got that shield over the planet. You know what I mean. You could say amen one time, Grant. It won't you? I want you to know something. When the devil throws it all at you, he's your shield. He's your protector. He's the one that's watching over you. Somebody ought to shout glory. I'm having a time tonight, brother. The Lord's my strength. You say, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but I know who will go through it with you. He's my buckler, Chad. We don't use that word much, but it's kind of good. I look back. Somebody help me here. I don't want you to relive painful things, but it's okay to think back of some of the ugliness that happened in your life and how that somehow, some way, God came on the scene. He protected you from getting gut shotted. He protected you from that angry person that was after you. Come on now. Hey, this world don't love us. He's my shield. That means he blocks them. Stop a minute. Let's quiet ourselves down a minute. How many things has God blocked out of your life that could have destroyed you? Sink in. Let's let it sink in. How many things has God blocked out of your life that could have destroyed y'all? Think about it. How many things has God blocked out of your life and kept you from being hurt? That could have destroyed you. How many things, church? How many? I got a loving God. He's my shield. He's my buckler. Y'all all with me? This is good stuff right here, Chad. Listen to this. He's my salvation. Now hold a minute. Hold a minute. Hold a minute. He's not talking about salvation from sin. He's talking about deliverance from his enemies. Hey, thank God I got salvation from sin. I done had that a long time ago. But aren't you, how many's glad that you got a God that has delivered you from your enemies, from the devil, from the snares of the devil? Somebody say amen. Whew. He's the horn of my salvation. Look on. Can we preach some more? Read this next phrase. And he's what? My. Say it, church. He's my safety. I run into people I used to run with that I don't run with anymore. And I thank God that I run to safety. And I got a high tire. The Lord is my high tire. Somebody say amen. He ain't no low tire. He's a high tire. tower. They can't get to me because I'm resting in my high tower. Let me look at verse 3 and we'll finish tonight. The third thought under point 1. Are y'all there? I will call upon the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved, what? From what? My enemies. That's his leaning call. You know what he done? With a sincere will. Get up here. He said, Lord, I'm going to lean on. You know what some of your problem is? You lean on everything else. You lean on your friends, your social media, your Facebook, your Twitter, your Snapchat, or whatever you call that junk. You know, I don't have it because I don't even know what it is. You're leaning on all of it. Some of you really need to quit venting some of your ignorance on Facebook. It don't look good. You act like you ain't got a God. Man, when I read some of that stuff, I say, that seems like the days of my life or General Hospital. I don't know. I want all my friends to be notified I'm in the bathroom. TMI. Too much information. My course life's not doing me any good. You know why we need to lean on him? Because of a sincere will, also because of his supreme worthiness. How many of you agree he's worthy to be praised? We ought to call on him in prayer, and we ought to scream out his voice in praise. How many of you have been spending some time in prayer lately? And what's wrong with this generation? This is the most prayerless generation we've ever been in. Most prayerless. They did a survey of 1,000 Christians and asked them how long they prayed every day. Put in a computer, the average was 3 minutes. And you want to know why you're overcome with everything? But here's the sad thought. The average prayer life of a Baptist preacher was 7 minutes. And we want to know why we're buckling under? Want to know why it seems like the devil's getting the victory? Because we ain't calling on God. Lord, he's my buckler, my strength, my horn of salvation, my safety. He's all that! And if he is, what am I doing trying everything else when I need to take it to Jesus in prayer? There's people in this room right now. You're struggling with something. And instead of coming up this altar and getting on your knees and talking to God about it, you're going right out that back door and do what you've always done before. Try to fix it yourself instead of falling on the altar and talking to God. There's people here, you're being tempted with evil. What in the world are you doing? Get on your knees! Because see, he prevented them. And the Bible said, but the Lord was my stay. Bow your head with me. I want to ask, please be transparent for a minute. I want to ask everybody in the church, how many of you are struggling with something tonight? Raise your hand if you're struggling. Just strip them up. I don't care what it is. Strip them up. Amen. All the house. Amen. How many of you know for sure you're going to heaven? Raise your hand. And make sure everybody's saved. Here's what I want you to ask people on the altar right now. Why don't you just come up and call on God tonight and say, God, I want your strength. I want your safety. I want your help. Stand with me. Our Father, touch the altar call. Touch people. Help them to make their way around the altar. Make you their stay. Yes. Yes.
Bring your burden.
Come on.
To Jesus.
Bring them. Several of you raise your hand. Yeah, come on, bring them.
To Jesus. Leave them there.
Something or someone broke your heart. You can't even hardly talk about it. Won't you come up and talk to him about it?
Leave it there. Leave it there.
Yes. Yes.
Bring your heartache to Jesus.
Bring him.
Bring
him. Thank you. Thank you tonight. I feel like I've been in church. I've been encouraged. This is what encourages me. The Word of God. Amen. It's real. Amen.